morning and be worshiping the God who made us and sustains us every moment of every day. And we are glad you are with us this morning, especially those who are visiting. We have a large number of those who are visitors, and for your presence we are so thankful. And again, we stress, please stay with us and enjoy this good meal to follow. And if you are a visitor, please be sure to be first in the line and not let us be first this morning. In Matthew chapter 28, our Lord Himself spoke these words, "All authority hath been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of God the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." Matthew 28, 18 to 20. "Go into all the world," our Lord said, "and preach the gospel to every living creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." Mark 16, 15 and 16. "Now when they heard this, they were cut to their heart and said, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins." Acts 2, 37 and 38. "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Acts 22, 16. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." John chapter 3, verse 3. "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God." John 3, verse 5. "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? What, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Romans 6, 1-4. "For we are all the sons of God by the faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ have put on Christ." Galatians 3, 26, 27. "Buried with him by baptism, wherein we are also raised with him through the faith of the operation of God." Colossians 2, verse 12. "Whereunto the like figure, even baptism, which doth also now save us." 1 Peter 3:21. "Unto him who loved us and washed us in his own blood." Revelation 1, verse 5. My friends, these few verses constitute just a small sampling of the many verses in our New Testament which stress and teach the importance and essential nature of baptism. Whenever you and I read these verses, and we analyze these verses, and we close our Bibles, we must realize that water baptism is part of the plan of God. As you and I read these verses, we must realize, we must understand that baptism is connected to being saved. It is connected to having our sins washed away. It is tied to being born again. It is being washed in the blood of Christ. It is putting on Christ. It is leaving the world and becoming one who is in the family of God. All of these things God's Word teaches about the concept of baptism. In light of those verses and many more verses, my friends, we must take baptism seriously. And we must believe the truth about baptism. We must teach the truth about baptism. And we must even practice the truth when it comes to baptism. And therefore, in light of those things this morning, I want to ask a question to all of us in this room. And the question is this: is God pleased with your baptism? Is God, the key word, pleased with your baptism? You may be here this morning, you've not yet been baptized. If you have not yet been baptized, ask yourself the question, is God pleased with this? Is God okay with this? Is this right and acceptable in God's eyes? If you have been baptized, and many of us have, ask yourself the question, when I was baptized, was it pleasing unto God? Is God pleased with my baptism? We've got to get it right. We must practice and believe and teach the truth on this issue. Is God pleased with your baptism? There are at least three things involved in acceptable baptism in the eyes of God. And we wish to use our Bibles this morning and make these three points about acceptable New Testament baptism. What is it? What baptism pleases God? Number one this morning, it demands, it must have the proper subject. When we speak of the subject of baptism, we are speaking of ourselves, the person being baptized, the subject of water baptism. And as we open our Bibles, the Word of Almighty God, and we ask ourselves the question, who was baptized in the first century? Who were the ones who were immersed in water in the first century? We can find our answer in the book of Acts. There are at least three things involved in being the right subject, the proper subject for baptism. Number one, from the book of Acts, a proper subject for baptism is an accountable subject. An accountable subject. One who is accountable to God in both their mindset and in both their age. Think of three passages. First of all, Acts 5, verse 14. The Bible says those who are baptized were men and women. Two groups that were both accountable to God in their age and in their mindset. Men and women. A second passage, Acts 8, verse 12. The Bible says those who were baptized on this occasion in Samaria were again men and women. Two groups that were accountable in age and mindset. A third passage, Acts 17, verse 12. The Bible says those who were baptized again were those who were men and women. In age and in mindset, they were accountable to God. Never once was one baptized who was an infant, nor a small baby, nor a toddler, nor a child, but men and women were baptized. Therefore, the right subject of a right baptism is one who is accountable. Accountable in age. Not an infant, not a small toddler, not a child, but a man or a woman, and also one who's accountable in their mindset. But a proper subject, number two, is a taught subject. Before one can be baptized, they must be accountable and they must be taught. Teaching always precedes baptism. When you read the book of Acts, in every conversion account, they were taught the Word of God. And before they went in those waters, they believed certain things as facts. They understood certain things before they ever even got in the waters of baptism. Two things in particular. Number one, they understood who Jesus was and what Jesus did. In Acts chapter 2, those on Pentecost were there in Jerusalem to celebrate the day of Pentecost. All of those Jewish people, the very Jews who took Christ and killed Christ. And the Bible says, verse 41, some 3,000 of them, upon hearing that sermon, were baptized. But before we read Acts 2, verse 41, we read these words, Ye men of Israel, hear these words. What words? Jesus of Nazareth. A man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by God's determinate counsel and foreknowledge, whom ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Acts 2:22-24. Peter said, God sent forth Christ. Christ lived, did these wonderful miracles. You saw him, you knew him, and you killed him. He was buried, but God raised him up. But he did not end there. He said this in verse 36, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly, it's this same Jesus, whom ye have taken, and whom ye have crucified, whom ye have slain, is made both Lord and Christ. That is, you killed him. God raised him up, and he is sitting, reigning and ruling by God's right hand. They taught to those individuals the death, the burial, the resurrection, the ascension of Christ. Before they were baptized, they understood who Christ was and what Christ did for them upon the cross. And my friends, that continues all throughout the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 8, we find Philip in Samaria. And the Bible says, verse 12, he preached in Samaria things concerning Jesus Christ and his kingdom. Before he baptized them, he taught them, and therefore they understood things regarding Christ and his kingdom. In that very chapter, Acts 8, this Ethiopian eunuch is reading Isaiah 53. God sends Philip, and the Bible says Philip began the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus before he was baptized, that is. For one to be baptized right, they must be accountable in both their age and their mind, and they must be taught and therefore understand some fundamental things regarding Jesus and his redemptive work. But not just that. Number two, they must be taught regarding the Lord's church. Someone once said that when they teach someone the gospel, they teach them and then baptize them, and then they begin teaching on the church. My friends, the order's wrong. One cannot be baptized right and have no knowledge, no understanding of the church for which Jesus died and the church to which that act of water baptism adds them. Whenever you and I read the book of Acts, there in Acts 8, as Philip preached in Samaria regarding Jesus Christ, the Bible says he also preached regarding the kingdom. What is the kingdom? The kingdom is the church, Matthew 16:18-19. Therefore, before they were baptized, they understood who Christ was, what Christ did, and that Christ established his church, and they were baptized then. My friends, this is one reason why we cannot accept as a baptism which pleases God a denominational baptism. There are religions which teach baptism and even baptize those in that religion. That is, they immerse them in water. But my friends, one cannot be taught wrong and baptized right. There in Acts chapter 2, when those 3,000 were baptized, the Bible says they were added to the church. That's what happens. The church which they've been taught about, the church which they understand, the church which they realize is Christ's church. Therefore, they're a taught subject. Number three, they're a penitent subject. They're accountable in both age and mind. They're taught regarding fundamental things, who Christ is, what Christ did, his church, and thus their commitment to Christ and his church. And my friends, they are a penitent subject. In the book of Acts, before someone was baptized, they were taught to repent. On the day of Pentecost, Acts 2:38, they were told, repent and be baptized. In the very next chapter, Acts 3, verse 19, a parallel text, they were told to repent and then be converted. Not be baptized, then repent. Not be converted, then repent. The order is wrong, but repent and be baptized. What's repentance? A change of mind which leads me to change my actions. These are wrong things I'm doing. I can't do these things anymore. I can't live this way anymore. And thus that great resolve to change one's life about sin. Turn from sin to God. That's repentance. Even John the Baptist, in Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 to 10, refused to baptize some people, even under his baptism, if they would not repent. Here is John baptizing, and in comes these Pharisees, and what does John say? John says, verse 8, go and bring forth fruits meet for repentance. My friends, one who is baptized, that is immersed in water, and yet they make no decision, make no effort, make no resolve, make no commitment to change their life. All one is doing is getting wet. A taught subject, an accountable subject, and a penitent subject. When you were baptized, if you had been baptized, were you accountable? Were you taught regarding who Jesus was, what Jesus did, the church for which he died, and thus the commitment you were making to Christ and his church? And were you penitent? That's involved in baptism, which pleases the Lord. But then number two, not just those things, but a proper baptism involves not just the right subject, but the right mode. That is, the way in which the person is baptized. How were people baptized in the New Testament? They were immersed in water. Well, how do you know that? Some teach sprinkling, some teach pouring, some teach dipping. How do you know that it was immersion? They were taken fully under in the water. How do you know that? My friends, we can know that based on three things in God's Word. First of all, the definition itself of the word baptism. The word baptism in our English Bible comes from a Greek word, which is this word, baptizo. Baptizo. Now, oftentimes we speak of translation where a Greek word is there and they're translating from this language to this language. And so they take that word, baptizo, we might say, and translate it into our language, into our meaning, into our usage. The word baptizo was not translated. Instead, it was transliterated. Now, what that means is this. They took the Greek word and wrote that Greek word out in English letters. Therefore, baptizo becomes baptism, our English word. But if we could translate that word and define that word, here is what it means: to make fully overwhelmed. You can't fully overwhelm something by sprinkling water on it. To make fully wet. To immerse. To submerge as a ship that is sinking would be submerged. That's the way that word's defined. You cannot fully overwhelm something, make it fully wet, fully submerge it, immerse it by sprinkling or pouring, only by immersion. Thus, baptism is immersion. But reason number two, it's immersion, is because of the examples in the Bible of baptism. Whenever you and I read these examples, we come to understand that they were immersed in water. They were not sprinkled, not poured upon their head, but they were immersed in water. For example, think of John's baptism. This is not the Lord's baptism, that is, the one to which you and I are amenable. But John's baptism, during that day and time, which was binding, even John was immersing in baptism. The Bible says in John 3, verse 23, that in those days John was baptizing in Enon. Why? The Bible tells us, because there was much water there. Why would John baptize in an area where there's much water if baptism meant you sprinkle someone? He's baptizing there because he needs much water to immerse much people. And as you and I keep on reading, our Lord was baptized by John. And as John baptized Jesus Christ, he immersed him, Matthew 3, 16, 17. Because Jesus was coming up out of the water, and what occurred? The Spirit came down as a dove, and God said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." But Jesus was coming up out of the water. That's because he was in the water. He was being immersed in the water. Under our baptism, that is, the one to which we are amenable, the one which is binding today, we have this example in Acts chapter 8. "And as they were going on their way, the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?'" My friend, stop there. Here's the eunuch again. He was reading about Christ. He did not understand Christ. Philip came, Acts 8. And the Bible says, began right there in that verse and preached unto him Jesus. And yet as they keep on writing, the eunuch brings up baptism. Why would he bring up baptism if baptism was not taught in the plan of God? Why would he bring up baptism if baptism was not essential to one's relationship to Jesus? He brings it up because he was taught about it. The eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Philip said this, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And the eunuch said this, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Then we find these words. Philip commanded the chariot to stand still, and they both, that is Philip and the eunuch, they both went down in the water, and the Bible says Philip baptized him. Acts 8, 36 to 39. They both went in that water because Philip immersed the eunuch. Reason number three, not just the definition, not just the examples, but the way that baptism is described in the Bible, we realize it's immersion. In Romans 6, 3 and 4 and Colossians 2, verse 12, God's Word calls baptism a burial. When you bury something, you fully submerge it. You fully overwhelm it. You fully cover it. We bury in baptism the old man of sin. Put that old man away, and we rise, Romans 6, 3 and 4, a new creature. You cannot bury the old man of sin by simply sprinkling him. You cannot bury an old dead man of sin by pouring dirt over him, but only by immersing him, burying him in the blood of Jesus Christ. Therefore, when you were baptized, were you accountable? Were you taught? Were you penitent? Were you immersed? Now, point number three. There is one last thing involved in baptism which pleases God. Because you may have the right subject. You may even have the right mode, the right person being immersed. But there has to be, number three, the right reason. Why were people baptized in the Bible? Why were those in the book of Acts placed in water and raised from that water? Note some verses, and note in these verses what God, not Brandon, what God connects to baptism. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved," Mark 16, 16.
And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. Acts 22:16. Repent and be baptized and wash away or remit thy sins. Acts 2:38. Water baptism is the antitype, Peter says, which doth also now save us. 1 Peter 3:21. In these verses, God's word connects baptism. We're baptized to be saved. It connects baptism. We're baptized to have our sins washed away or remitted. We are baptized, Romans 6:3-4, to put the old man of sin away and rise a new creature. We are baptized, Galatians 3:26-27, to become a child of God, to put on Christ, to be placed into Christ. We are baptized, John 3:3-5, to be born again. We are baptized for all of those reasons, to be saved, to have our sins washed away, to become a child of God, to become a saved person, to meet the blood of Christ, to become a new creature, to be placed in Christ's kingdom of church, all those reasons. And yet the world tells us we are to be baptized to show that we are saved, as a public demonstration to prove and show in a public way that we are God's follower. The order is wrong. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16:16. Doth also now save us. 1 Peter 3:21. You cannot be saved without having sins remitted. And water baptism remits sins. Acts 2:38. You cannot be saved unless God's blood through Christ washes those sins away. And in baptism, our sins are washed away. Acts 22:16. You cannot be saved without being born again. And in baptism, we are born again. John 3. You cannot be saved by not being God's child. And we become God's child by being baptized. Galatians 3:26-27. Yet folks are baptized for these reasons. Well, we were dating, and my spouse would not marry me at the time unless I was baptized. And so I was baptized. Or I was at camp, and my friend went forward, and my friend was baptized. And I did not want my friends to think ill of me or bad of me, so I went forward too, and I was baptized too. Or my parents, they were baptized, and so I thought I'd be baptized too. My friends, those are not the reasons why. God's word commands baptism as an essential part of one being saved. One must be the right subject, in the right mode, and be baptized for the right reason. When you were baptized, were you accountable? Were you taught? Were you penitent? Were you immersed in water? And were you immersed in water for the purpose of meeting that redemptive blood to wash your sins away so you could be saved, become God's child, be in God's family, and live your life as a faithful New Testament Christian? You may hear this sermon and think these thoughts, well, that's a bit much. I think you've taken baptism and you've stretched it to be far more difficult than it really is. My friends, water baptism is too important to get wrong. We've got to get it right. Well, are there examples in the Bible of someone who was baptized, that is, immersed, but yet their baptism was not right? And yes, there are. Acts chapter 19. In the first 5 verses, you have individuals who were baptized. They were immersed in water, even to have their sins remitted. And yet they were baptized under John's baptism. That would have worked had they been baptized before Christ's death, Because John's baptism was a preparatory baptism, pointing man towards, looking forward to the death of Christ, and thus granting forgiveness in the act of baptism based on the future reality of his death. At this point in time, when they've been baptized, Christ is dead. His church is established, and his baptism is now binding. And thus they've been taught wrong, and thus been baptized wrong. That's why in Acts 19 verse 5, Paul took them and baptized them in the name of the Lord. That is properly. When you think of your baptism, if you have been baptized, are you certain that your baptism pleases the Lord? If you've not been baptized, why are you waiting? Suppose you could right now take a piece of paper and write down on that piece of paper the reason why you won't be baptized. And then fold that paper up and keep that paper with you at all times. And then when you stand before God in judgment, bring that paper out and read that reason to Almighty God, who has revealed His will and in His will commanded water baptism. What will be God's response on that day? You may leave this place this morning and not be baptized, and still choose not to respond and be baptized. But dear friend, all of these texts and all of these teachings will still be in God's Word when you leave this place. They won't change. But will you? Will you be that right subject who has now been taught and perhaps can be taught more, and thus learn and thus be penitent and thus be immersed in water to meet the blood of Christ? Do you believe in Christ? Repent of your sins this morning. Confess Christ's name. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Acts 8:37. And then put on Christ in water baptism. Is your baptism one which pleases God? If not, why not? The choice is yours this morning. It can be. If you're not God's child, think of these thoughts. And if you are God's child, think of your life. Are you faithful, walking in the light? You made a commitment. And the Christian life does not end on the ascending side of the baptistry. It begins there. Are you living in light of that commitment you once made those years ago? If you're not faithful, come home this morning through penitence, confession, and prayer as we stand, as we sing.